The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
Here we go. It's the Chris Perillo Show live here in Seattle, Washington. I'm flying solo tonight, apparently. Jake is unfortunately on a plane, so I'm the engineer, the producer, and talent, as it were, on tonight's Chris Perillo Show, which I suppose is a good thing because that's my name, Chris Perillo. And tonight, after all this time, after how long have we been talking about doing live phone calls? Has it been months? Seems like years. Well, tonight it's actually going to happen. That's right, we've got live phones set up, ready to rock and roll. Guess the number, folks. Can you guess? Just guess. All right, so if you read my blog, then you already know. 888-PERILLO. That's 888-PIRILLO. I suppose we should probably call 888-PERILLO just to see what's going on with that guy. I don't know. Maybe it's a bad number, though. Maybe we don't want to call it. 888-PERILLO. 888-7474-556. How's that? Does that just roll off the tongue or what? We had called up for the phone number last week when we had ordered the phone lines after going through that whole debacle, which most of you had pretty much caught up on. And that was the last piece of the puzzle. We got the phone lines installed, and then the toll-free number wasn't routing anywhere. And I was really worried about that, quite honestly, because one of the first numbers that we wanted to go with, an original number, I think it was 888-404-HELP, and then I think we tried 888-404, was it KELP? No. It must have been 404-TECH. And I started thinking, you know what? How many letters are in my last name? So you're P-I-R-I-L-L-O. Yeah, I'm still counting on my fingers, folks. Perillo. Okay, that's seven letters. Oh, let's see here. Well, hey, do you happen to have Perillo? Sure enough, about 30 seconds later, he said, yeah, we do. 7474556. So that's the number. 888-7474556. You have to know how to spell my name to participate in the show, much like you have to know how to spell my name in order to participate on my blog. Or, I suppose in the chat room, you don't know how to need to know how to spell my name, just know how to spell Locker Gnome. Of course, you've got the link for it over at thechrisperilloshow.com. We've got a link directly to the chat room. A handful of gnomies are sitting in there right now, about 48 of them. Well, 47 if you don't count me, and I'm not really that participatory in the chat, as it were. As it has been a joke for many years, I'll go into the chat room and then not say anything. I'm a lurker, big time. So I am in there now, just watching what's scrolling by the screen, largely because, as I said, I'm flying solo tonight. So I've got all the bells and whistles and the sliders and the knobs turning and everything sitting in front of me. This is just a fantastic system. I couldn't tell you anything about it. I really couldn't, because we've got the mixing board and the sliders up and down, you know, controlling the phones and the microphones that I've got. I got this nice headset on my head, and then I've got a separate box that is a compressor that keeps it kind of the audio quality limited so that it doesn't spike and then sound really horrible. So that's a separate device. And then, of course, we have the computer that everything's running through. That's how the audio is getting from point A to point B. And then I've got, like, a headset plug-in jack thing so I can hear things independent of other people. So each headset has got its own port on that. And then the new system, the phone system, this thing's expensive, folks. You don't even want to know. It's a Comrex system. That's the name of the brand, Comrex. If you just do a search for it online, I'm sure you'll find it and you'll wig out at the price. But the thing is slicker than snot. I'm telling you, had I known it was this cool, I would have asked to order one months ago, and we would have gone the traditional phone route instead of trying voice over IP. So normally, with this phone system, the Comrex phone system that we have, there's a call screener function, you know, so someone in another room or in another partition, since we don't really have a partition here, it's just me sitting in front of an old kitchen table that Ponzi didn't want anymore, upon which everything sits, including most, if not all, of the equipment, the call screener is supposed to take the phone call and then from there patch it through on the board, and the call screener has this wonderful interface. It's flash-based, it's web-based, and accessible at least from the intranet here in the studio, quote-unquote studio. It's a bedroom, folks. It's got carpeting on the floor, so it allows for some amount of sound absorption. Whereas when we started the Chris Perlow show, it was out in the middle of a hardwood floored area with not much furniture at all. So the call comes in. We've got six lines. The toll-free number, 888-PERLOW, basically hunts through across all six lines, and that's the only number you need to know. So the call screener would take the call, get the name, the person would be able to take like your location and the topic. Even we can even mark down like gender and your mood. I one of these days I got to take a screenshot of this because one of the moods is crazy. That's a mood that we can attribute to a caller, and the emoticon is animated. And it's just it. Believe me, it's absolutely crazy. And if you can hear my dog barking in the background, okay, so I'm lying. So I'm not flying completely solo. But Ponzi's not here, and Jake's not here, so it's just me. And oh wait, Ponzi just walked through the door. So now you guys are in for a treat. You get to hear me do a little tech support with Ponzi, and you remember that discussion from a couple weeks ago, how it's impossible to give a family member tech support. Well, we're about to learn up close and personal how difficult it is. So I've got to give her a crash course in this entire system. She hasn't even used it. She hasn't been in this room since she left a few weeks ago. And she's come bearing gifts from Best Buy that I was going to use to connect her computer from the other room to here. But tonight she gets to sit in with me. So she gets to actually sit on the phone, take the call, and then I'm going to have to show her, folks. So this is what you guys get to learn up front, how I'm teaching Ponzi how to handle this system. Hey, Ponzi, why don't we do this? Why don't we put on this headset so that that everybody at home can hear your commentary? You got it on? Okay, you can talk.
I can't hear anything.
You can't hear anything?
No.
Let's try this. Can you hear things now?
A little bit.
Better?
Better.
Or worse? Better?
More.
More?
Better.
Is that, am I not blaring now?
Now I can hear you very well.
Okay, great. So, Ponzi, let's remove these Best Buy bags. We don't need them at this point.
Okay, so you don't want to see what we got.
What did we get?
I got what was on the list, but they didn't have gray, so
and a Madonna,
we have white.
Two Madonna CDs. I already have this one.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
I gave
it's
this
the
one
Immaculate
to my mom.
Collection.
The Immaculate Collection I gave to my mom, so now I want this one for my car.
Okay.
So anyways, it was right there. It was one of those impulse buys.
Sure.
Yeah. At Best Buy.
Yeah, Madonna, impulse buy. Okay, yeah, that's fine.
And the guy went in the back and he found that
oh,
dual
great.
Modular thing you needed.
Yeah, this is because when the phone guy came to install the cords, turn around, Ponzi, you'll see what I'm talking about. And I'll have to post a picture
to
the website.
No.
It looks like absolute
like
junk.
Crap.
Yeah,
okay.
So this is basically what I needed to get so that we could actually connect it and make it look go flush with the wall. We had to basically convert a couple of RJ11 or phone ports into RJ45 or network ports to get it to connect to the phone system that handles six lines. So go ahead, Ponzi, take off your jacket. And
cool. We actually get to talk to people tonight.
I know. I mean,
that's so fun.
Usually you get freaked out when I call you from the other room. But I would say...
That's just because I'm busy.
Yeah, but you should sit in on the conversation a lot more often than you do.
Seriously. You guys totally geek out.
No, but you know what?
I just assume
talk to you about these things because you provide that balance that usually you don't get on a tech support or techie kind of show.
Okay, so let's chat.
All right. So wait, first I got to show you how to kind of do this.
Okay, what do I do?
So you're going to
just so you guys know, it's
this?
A mess here. There's like
they don't need
wires,
to know that.
Crap
no,
here.
It's the illusion
there's
of radio.
The phone.
Now, come
over
on, they
here.
Don't need to know that. I told
the
them that.
Computer, I can't see.
Right.
I'm like, people,
why don't
come
you
on.
Go and get your laptop? Because I need this one. Can you get your laptop?
You have to have all these computers. What? Why
okay,
do you
fine.
Have to have
well, then I won't be able to see the chat room because I've got to see. Oh, I don't yeah. have.
All right, hold on.
Well, just, it's
let
not...
Let me go get the
It's only
laptop.
Like 3 pounds. I mean, it's not that heavy. So she's got one of those IBM ThinkPads. What is it, T40? It's a four-pound laptop, apparently. And she counts the pounds, believe me. She weighs herself with the laptop every single day on the scale, and that's how I knew I found the right woman, someone who would go that far. So anyway, the number, by the way, and feel free to call in. You're probably going to be waiting a while as I show Ponzi how to do this. But essentially, Ponzi's going to be taking your calls right here in the same room, so you may hear her in the background. But the number, again, is 888-PERILLO, 888-744-7456. And this is kind of what happens when you do live shows and you do things out of passion. And I say that because how many of you would really dedicate an entire bedroom of your house to setting up some kind of studio so that you could take live calls, real live calls, not just... over the internet, as most podcasts or shows would do. It's one of the things that I think we're one of the first into the fray in this sense. There are a lot of internet shows, but how many are really bridging that gap? There are a lot of internet-based shows, podcasts, they're using Skype for the phone and the connections and all that. But what about, their radio connections? Because chances are, if you've got, a nice phone system and all the hardware and all this equipment and all this, quality stuff, where's it going? Chances are it's going to a radio station. Well, the Chris Perillo Show at this point in time is fully internet-based, online, and we're probably going to keep it that way for the foreseeable future because that gives us a lot of freedom, not just in time constraints, but or I should say in no time restraints, but also just, what we want, the free-flowing of conversation. We don't have to spend any given amount of time on any particular phone call. So if we answer the question quickly, that's great, or we can, continue moving forward. We've got a wonderful sponsor in Microsoft, and specifically Microsoft Windows Media, and they're the people who really made most, if not all, of this possible. I mean, quite honestly, I'm just a voice, but we were able to afford to get this kind of equipment and provide a quality show for you largely because of Microsoft's support, and I'm very, very grateful for that. Both Kevin Uangst and Matt Calder have been very instrumental in making sure that the Chris Perillo Show has succeeded. And, beyond that, of course, we're streaming live online, and that's courtesy of Limelight Networks, and we're very grateful for them as well. And we'll probably be using Limelight most likely at Gnomedex as well, as we start doing the live stream on that. And that stream, by the way, is going to be absolutely free. I'm most likely going to be asking for donations. So Ponzi's returned with her laptop here. And now, Ponzi, don't be drinking because your microphone is up.
Oh, okay. I tried to sneak some Code Red Mountain Dew here and a little quiet food because I'm starving over
Wait,
here.
Is that the same Mountain Dew that you snuck into Revenge of the Sith?
I can't believe you freaking told everybody.
No, wait.
That.
No. I'm sorry. The Mountain Dew that I snuck into Revenge of the Sith.
Yes, that would be the one.
So, did you enjoy the movie?
Should I tell them? Do I have to tell everybody? You're going to make me tell because you're giving me that look.
Okay, tell. Do tell.
I totally fell asleep and I actually snored and Chris had to whack me a good one and say, Ponzi, wake up. You're snoring.
Yeah, it was pretty loud.
And you know what? I really love Natalie Portman. She's like one of my favorite actresses of all time.
Oh, yeah?
And Samuel Jackson. I mean, come on. Everybody loves Samuel
Jackson. I didn't know you liked Natalie so much, though. Oh, Sam Jackson, that's a given.
Yeah, but what kind of acting was that? There was no acting. It was like that was totally not a Samuel L. Jackson role. I just couldn't believe it.
Well, everyone keeps calling their acting styles, or at least in this movie, wooden. And I'm not sure if that's the most accurate word I would use. Although I gave it a fair write-up, and just a couple of people who are very passionate about the whole Star Wars franchise decided to give me hell for it. Right. But I wasn't too impressed with Revenge of the Sith. It at first, on the surface, seemed like a good movie. But as soon as you started to dig deeper, that's when I started to kind of feel like you and wondering, when it was going to be over. And I've never felt that way about a Star Wars movie at all. And you haven't even really seen any Star Wars movie.
I saw them all when I was a kid, but I didn't fall in love with them or go nutso like the majority of most geeks do.
Now, how would you define nutso? As someone who dresses up and goes to the movies?
Someone who has Darth Vader's on one whole layer of their desk, maybe. It's a little nutso to me, but hey.
All right, Ponzi, here we go. So I've got you, by the way, avoiding that conversation entirely.
Right.
So, you can call me nuts a little later. So we're going to go ahead and log you in to the system. And what you're going to see here, this is all web-based, and this is the only program that you're going to need to see.
So basically he just pulled up a website, which is just a number. I don't know what.
It's an IP address, babe. Okay. And that's basically, it's each machine that's connected to a network is assigned like a number. If it's using the TCP/IP protocol, which is what the internet basically uses. It's the network protocol that makes machines communicate with one another.
Oh, okay.
So each one, like each phone, yeah. You couldn't use a phone unless it had a phone number attributed to it. Same way with a computer online. You can't really use it unless it has an IP address associated with it, at least, you know, as far as the internet's concerned. So this is all a web-based interface. And what you're going to do here, you've got you better be careful because you're going to be picking up this physical phone.
Okay.
So I would not put your Code Red Mountain Dew anywhere near
Okay. Either that or cap it.
Let's cap it.
Let's not cap it because...
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm going to take a quick swig here in a minute.
All right. Well, so let me know when you're going to take the swig because I don't want people to hear you taking the swig. They're still going to hear you if you do that. Ponzi,
did you realize? Well.
No, you didn't.
No one heard that.
No, yes, we did because you know where your microphone was?
Where?
It's down by your esophagus.
Oh, okay.
Well, so we can hear the whole swallowing thing.
Busted.
So, okay, so you've got the system. Basically, phone lines are going to light up here. Pardon me. I'm not anywhere near a cough switch right now. But we've got six phone lines. So it's like 1 through 6, just like it's labeled 1 through 6. So what's going to happen, let's say line 1 lights up. What you're going to do is you're going to press the button and then pick up the phone, and that's if line 1 lights up. And press it again until you can hear them, basically. So then let's say
And I'm going to hear them in the headset or in the phone?
No, you're going to hear them here.
What am I doing with the headset?
You're going to put down the headset when you start doing call screening.
Okay. And so then how am I going to know what the heck's going on?
You're not necessarily going to know. Hey, I'm hacking this as I go along here, babe.
I'm doing what I can. I'm just asking questions here.
So you're basically going to, you're going to pick up the line. Let's say they call in, blah, 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 blah. Then you go here. You say, okay, hi. Hey, what's going on? What's your name? Blah, 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 blah. So let's say the name is Steve, and you type in Steve. Location, so where are you from? Give them the location. I suppose if they don't, you know, if they don't want to say anything, they can give their web address, and then we can talk about their website, too.
Okay.
Topic, like what's their question? What do they want to talk about? Do they have an opinion about something? Then you can label their gender. If you can't tell, don't put anything, okay?
All right.
If you don't know, just don't put anything. And then for the mood, you've got all sorts of moods. You got neutral, sad, happy, crying, angry, rude, shocked, embarrassed, eye roll, crazy.
That's my favorite.
So,
eye roll.
So just determine what kind of mood they're in. You know, are they just kind of in a stoic mood, or are they, you know, in a panic mode, or you know, what kind of mood are they in?
Okay.
And then type in notes. So like, if like a more description of what they want, what they're talking about, or if you have no idea, do your best to write it here, but try to keep it pithy, short, like to a sentence. I don't need like a paragraph because you only have so much room in here.
Right, so then
when that happens, once that's done, then you say, okay, thank you. Before you hang up the phone, press the button again, and that puts them on hold. You see that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so right now someone's actually calling in on this line.
Okay.
They're on hold.
Okay.
So... You ready to take it? All right, go ahead and take
it,
Ponzi.
Do it.
So I'm going to go ahead and remove your headset. And Ponzi's going to be call screening now. That's how easy or difficult it was to actually facilitate that, which surprisingly enough, this system is so easy to use. Anybody could do it. And listen, I don't know if you can hear Ponzi in the background, but she's trying to sound all official as the operator. It's probably someone we're related to, and in which case, I thank you for calling in. And, of course, anybody from around the galaxy, as long as you have the ability to call in a toll-free number, you should be able to call in 888-47—oh, sorry, that's another number. It's 888-PERILLO. I should just stick to saying that. 747-456, PERILLO, PIRILLO. And from there, you'll be connected with Ponzi. And we're going to make that phone light up like a Christmas tree. This is great. I'm just watching her, and she seems to be doing a wonderful job so far. And the neat thing about this system, folks, I wish you could see this. I'm going to have to take screenshots because I don't think you really understand how really cool this is. It updates in real time. So I'm seeing whatever Ponzi's typing on the screen, I'm seeing it reflect on my screen. So I can see that she's right now answering a call from user Ben Geek from the chat room. And so I know who's on hold. And I kind of have an idea of, you know, who he is. And, I mean, not only because he's been very helpful and instrumental with the Chris Perillo show in the past, but also because Ponzi's typing in possible, you know, questions that he might have. And, of course, it's always interesting when someone who is a call screener has, you know, a small amount of tech proficiency, and I know she's doing a bang-up job already, but it's funny when you know a word and how to spell it and they don't. And I don't know if she can hear me at all. I'm kind of making fun of her. But I'm sure she'll hear it in the archive, although she never listens to the archive, really. Okay, I'm going to log into the chat room again. I had to disconnect and reconnect over a different kind of connection. I had to go wireless so that I can give her a wired port. And I'm waiting to see. Now, this is a true test of Jake. Jake knows now that we're broadcasting live. He had to fly in from Iowa, and he's a little late, and that's fine. This is a true test to see how wise he is. He could call our home line. And it's going to ring. You're going to hear it if he calls. Or he could call my cell phone. Or he could call the actual show, 888-PERILLO. So it looks like Ponzi's well on her way to doing this wonderful job. This is how easy the system is to use. This is great. So without any further ado, I'm going to answer the first live phone call on the Chris Perillo Show. The first live phone call is going to user Ben Geek from the chat room. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. So is the stream coming across loud and clear?
Very good.
Despite all the internal technical difficulties?
Oh, no, there's no problems at all. It sounds great.
Would you say that Ponzi and I make a good team, an okay team?
Excellent team. You know, she's just going to be just like the Howard Stern show and what's her name, you know?
Really? So are you saying I get to see some... Well,
hopefully not that.
You mean like male-female interaction?
Exactly.
No problem. Okay. So you actually have some kind of a technical question, correct?
Yes, I do. I have a Sony Vaio. I know you hate them, but I do
yes.
have one anyway.
But do you know why I hate them?
Yeah, because of all the crap they put on them.
That, and have you ever tried to get support with them?
No, I haven't yet.
You just wait, and then you'll realize why I dislike Sony. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, it has, it's a 40 gigabyte hard drive. It's just a notebook, by the way.
Okay.
And it came partitioned into two drives. And I cannot figure out how to make it one partition, but still be able to use the sleep mode and the hibernation.
Like in terms of, so you got 40 gigabytes, correct?
Correct. And there's two gigabyte partitions.
Wait, 4 or 40?
40 gigabyte.
And
40.
So you got two 20 gigabyte partitions?
About that, yeah.
Okay. So you're trying to resize a partition then so that you have space
exactly.
for the hibernation file?
Right.
And essentially what you're talking about, Windows has kind of got an advanced suspension mode, like a power
right.
saving mode. It essentially just this is just to describe for anybody who might not be familiar with it and may have seen this hiberfile.sys sitting in their system. It takes an image capture, like you take a picture of something, it takes all the information out of RAM, out of memory, and stores it into this file on the hard drive. And then your system falls asleep. And then when it wakes up again, it takes all that information from the file and then puts it back into memory. And the idea is that it's a lot more stable type of power management. And so if you don't have a lot of room for it to resize any type of partition, you may actually be able to do that on the fly. Is it Windows XP?
Yes, it is.
Home or Pro? Just curious.
Pro.
Okay. And I don't think there's any difference one way or another with the disk manager. And let me see if I'm actually going to follow along since I have XP sitting in front of me as well. Unfortunately, this is where it would be wonderful to have some type of video cast so people would be able to follow along at home. Right-click on my computer, go to Manage. And like I said, it's been a while since I've actually used the disk management tool in here, but this is where you're going to be able to ascertain more information about your disk. Right-click, My Computer, go to Manage, and then in the Computer Management Console, like about towards the end, you're going to see Storage and then Disk Management. And then with that, in there, you're going to be able to see like your volumes, the partition, what type of partition it is, the file system, and you know all the information, the capacity, the free space, the amount of free space, and if you have any extra space, then this is where you're going to be able to resize partition on the fly. But at least here you're kind of getting a snapshot. But as far as like overall is concerned, when you really want to get into, if let's say you don't have any extra space and you want to make some non-destructive resizing, because chances are if you wanted to gain more space here, you'd have to format a disk, and I don't think you want to go that route. Correct?
Well, what I've done is I made a ghost of the entire disk. And I've tried resizing the partition, the primary partition C, to fill the whole drive. But when I did that, you know, it would stop using the sleep or hibernation. You know, neither would work.
Okay. Let's see here. And you said you've ghosted the drive?
Yeah, I ghosted the drive, and I reverted back to that since.
Okay. And what software did you use again to...
To ghost, I used Acronis True Image.
Okay. And it shouldn't be an issue because that's just an image. Have you used Partition Magic yet?
Yes. Yeah, that's the partition program that I was using.
Okay. So you're trying to make a non-destruct. You're trying to get the hibernation. You know, you may actually be able to tweak where the hibernation file sits. I think by default it sits in the root of C. And you have
where
to
do I make that change? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm gonna hang on just a second.
Sure.
This is gonna take some tweaking on the fly. Let's see here. Hang on just a second.
No problem.
We're too loud. Harry's telling us we're too loud. So I wonder. Sorry, our remote tech is telling us that we're too loud, and I don't know if it just keep telling me if it's still too loud, Ponzi, because I'm trying to adjust as many things as I possibly can. Sorry about this. This is what happens when you're your own engineer. Give me a second. Now, let me ask you another question. You've got two 20 gigabyte partitions. Are both of them NTFS?
Yes, they are.
Okay. And I'm just checking just to make sure, because if there is something moving back and forth, sometimes there may be issues, at least with FAT32. And I don't think there are the same amount of issues with that. Let's
it's
try
all
to...
happening because it's Sony.
You know what? It may be. If they, if how many show up when you go into like Partition Magic or like the Disk Manager? Do you just see two separate drives?
No, I think there's three.
Okay,
one tiny one, but I didn't touch that one. First.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch that one because chances are, if you have to restore the system, that's where all the information is sitting.
Right, that's what I thought.
The only way. So if Partition Magic wasn't able to, or unless you did step through this and I missed it, were you able to shrink the size of the second drive first,
yeah,
and then add the space to the first one, the C drive, and it didn't take.
It took, but the hibernation function just stopped working. It would say that the file couldn't be found or something like that.
Was it? Did you know if it was there? And where you'd normally find it is in the root of your C drive.
I don't know if it was. I didn't know where it was putting.
Oh,
it.
Yes, check that may be the case. It may not have been created. It may have been damaged some way or moved or another. What you'd want to do?
Is that the hyperfill?
Yes.
.sys.
Is it there?
Okay. Yeah, I do see it. There.
It's in the root of C drive. And where you would go to turn that on, like in Control Panel,
mm-hmm,
you'd go. I think under Performance and Maintenance Options, Hibernate tab, and that's if you have the general one. I mean. The big fancy icons in the classic
right.
mode, I believe it's in your power options under,
yep,
pardon me, the Hibernate tab, and it has the ability to enable hibernation and disable hibernation. Have you gone through that route yet?
I will try that though. I did not it's checked off, you know, as is, you
yeah.
know, with the factory install, but I have not tried that after purchasing it.
When you work with, yeah, sometimes if you work with those types, when you're working with the disk and something as specific as this, if it needs to be in the root of C because the operating system is looking for it there, then that's where, you know, toggling it on, toggling it off. And if not, you know, like I said, this is, I'm just now getting the question, but I'm going to, you know, see if I can find more information to see if it can be moved. Especially if Windows can't figure it out in terms of it being created in a new way or not. You're saying that when you go back to... And pardon me, I know I'm asking so many questions here, but
no
in
problem.
Terms of... hang on, just Ponzi's trying to ask me a question. Back off the mic a little bit.
Me?
No, not you. Not you,
okay.
Me. Nothing's wrong with you. You're fine. You're absolutely fine. And it's just since we don't have... since we don't have anybody who is here sitting in front of the board, someone who's helping us kind of remotely troubleshoot the audio quality. So hopefully I'm coming across okay. And if I'm not, please let me know immediately. When you went back to resizing things to the way they were factory installed, did the hibernation file work?
Yes, it did.
That may be something that is related to Sony then. Because if you were able, if you resized it efficiently within Partition Magic, which is like probably one of the best utilities to manage disk stuff, and couldn't get it to work after resizing the partition. There may be something that Sony is hard coded into it, and I wouldn't be surprised. This is the kind of weird stuff that happens. I wouldn't imagine that, you know, once you've resized a partition, you would have any issues. But that may very well be the case. You just don't have a lot of space that left over on C at this point?
Hardly any of it. Like about less than a gigabyte.
Well, wait a minute. Where's your? What are you doing on the second drive, if anything?
Nothing. I have one video saved to it.
Okay. Here's what I would do then. And this is actually what I do. I've got two hard drives installed, but imagine if it was just one hard drive that was partitioned into two drives. And I keep all my documents, so all my MP3s, all my bigger files or lots of files on the second drive. So that way you're freeing up more space on your primary drive, your C drive. It that would be something I would recommend more than anything. Moving the My Documents over to the second drive. If that's the case, then you're out of space.
Right.
Especially if you have a big My Documents folder. But I can imagine that either...
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Move it over to the second drive, and
so
you're going to be
fine.
That,
you do that through the properties using the Move button?
No. Actually, it's to change the location of My Documents, it's very simple. If you have the icon sitting on your desktop, you could right-click it and go to Properties, or if you've got it in the Start menu, you could right-click it and go to Properties. And then in there, right in the first tab, the Target tab, it says Target Folder Location. And then you just move it.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, it's just right there then. And you could either create a new folder on the D drive or whatever that second hard drive is, and then go from there. But that's going to at least free it up if you weren't able to figure it out by resizing the partitions.
I think I'll just do that. That seems like a better solution.
That's the way I did it. And as a matter of fact, I had so much of My Documents on the second drive, I had to start moving it over to a third drive. I've got to get rid of a lot of my MP3s. Either that, or I'll just wait for Ponzi to buy more CDs at Best Buy when, you know, she's feeling impulsive. So anyway, sorry, she's rolling her eyes, but you can't hear that, can you?
No, I can't.
All right, fair enough. Well, hopefully that'll at least get you going for a little while longer until your My Documents file gets so unwieldy, or folder gets so unwieldy that you have to find a third hard drive.
Yep.
But anyway, thanks for your help and support.
No problem.
With the chat room. I so sincerely appreciate it, like you wouldn't believe. User Bin Geek, folks, if you want to talk to him, yes, he's the rock star in the chat room. And hopefully we've helped him get going with his particular issue. What's that, Ponzi? Do you want to put on your headset so you can talk to everybody again? Oh, I'm sorry. Are you eating in the middle of our little show here, Ponzi?
Oh, I'm totally busted.
Yeah, you're totally busted. So
I can't hear what's going on, but I'm eating pepperoni. Sorry.
Well, we didn't need to know what you were eating necessarily. We knew that you were eating, and that was sufficient. But it's good to know that it's pepperoni.
No,
what
I was
were you
asking.
Saying?
I was asking for a little rock star music there from you for User Bin Geek.
Well, I really don't have any
music
sounds here.
Come on. No, from you. Usually you walk around the house, make all kind of funny noises.
That was my best 80s guitar glam kind
of. I can't see the chat room, so I have no idea how much they're making fun of you.
Oh, they're not. they weren't saying anything, actually. I don't see anything at this point. Although I hope everything is coming through loud and clear. And thank you, Harry Hayes, for helping us tweak the audio.
Can you believe that? Harry knows how to tell me what to do, knowing that I know absolutely nothing about any of this equipment.
But
he's never even seen our setup.
But you got to admit.
This is what you need to do, Ponzi.
But we've done good.
This is really good. Just to be me and you?
We've done very well to this point.
I mean, gosh. So, I have no idea what the heck I'm doing.
But you've got a flashy light, it seems.
Oh, you have
to see. On line
two.
There's
someone waiting. But you have to answer Alberto because he's really PO'd. Look at that. He's got the little angry guy face going on.
Alberto is really PO'd from Lawndale, California. Hello, Alberto.
Hey, Chris. What's going on?
Oh, not much. We're doing what we can to try to make things work here, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Hey, first of all, congratulations on the show, man. Kick ass.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's definitely been nothing short of a challenge, but
hey,
now being here, it's I can see why I wanted to do it again. It's a lot of fun.
You know, while I was on hold, I thought of something. This guy calls me up today, right? And he has I got a second level support call where a guy was running Office 2003 and he had the picture manager, which, you know, they ripped out photo editor. It's not no part of Office anymore.
Yeah.
So they put in picture manager, and the guy's trying to just open the picture and trying to print it. not there. Right click, no print, file, print, nothing, gone. So I'm like, okay, whatever. I go on the knowledge base, and it turns out that Microsoft decided that if you're not running Windows XP, you can't print from Picture Manager in Office. Turns out that the Picture Manager in Office uses the photo printing wizard that's available in XP only. So if you're running Windows 2000, you can't print from Picture Manager. It was just the arrogance of these people is just, you know, it's jaw-dropping.
Oh, I completely agree.
We rolled out Office 2003 to thousands of desktops where I work, and, you know, a great majority of them have not been upgraded to XP. They're running 2000. All of a sudden, these people, and in the Knowledge Base article, it says the workaround is open your image in another image editing program. They're just like, screw you. That's it.
You're kidding.
No, that's the workaround.
You're kidding.
Open it in another program.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Absolutely amazing.
Oh, wow. So, no, wait, where do you work? Before we get to your question, where do you work?
You know, I don't know if I'm supposed to say or not.
Okay, then don't.
Let's say this. It's an aerospace contractor.
Okay, fair enough. We have plenty of those up here in Seattle.
So.
Or at least one big one.
Yeah,
so.
And I do, you know, I do phone support, and I do the second-level calls, and, you know, people are just screaming about the changes in Outlook. I know you've griped about that before, how much you hated it when it first came out.
Oh, Outlook 2003?
With the whole group view, Outlook 2003?
Yeah.
How they changed everything around?
It's... You know what, and I've actually, you know, oddly enough, Alberto, is that how you pronounce your name?
Yeah, Alberto's
okay.
Fine.
I had lined up a guest tonight by the name of Michael Affronti, and I met him. He works at Microsoft, specifically in the Office division in on Outlook, and I had a presentation I did at Microsoft a few months ago, and that's where I met him. And I told him, I told the whole, like, a room full of Microsofties that Outlook 2003 sucked. And you know, you should have seen their faces. I mean, half of them were shocked and appalled, and they were laughing. And they were like, "Well, it's not like they knew it, but you know, it was the fact that I said it, and I was able to qualify." And Michael and I got together for coffee a few weeks later,
yeah.
And he was originally lined up to be on the show tonight,
yeah.
And I'm glad he isn't here tonight.
I mean,
we're having fun and everything,
yeah,
but. Largely because he wouldn't be able to share a lot of the stuff that he wants to about the next version of Outlook. The next version of Office and Outlook. And so I told him all the interface issues that I had, you know, with Outlook 2003,
sure.
And he couldn't disagree. I mean, and I even pointed it out to him.
No, you know why you know, they react that way? Because they know what they did. They, you know, the kind of changes that they unleashed on the community. It's just horrible. I mean, right now we're dealing a lot with I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. Do you know that... Outlook 2003 allows you to track conversations.
Yeah.
So sometimes it shows up and sometimes it doesn't, and it depends on
whether
Outlook catches up processing the read receipts. And it turns out that if the person you sent an email to when you requested a read receipt doesn't send you one, you're not going to see the tracking tab.
You know, Alberto,
it's completely hidden.
It's such a kludge, and that's the simplest word for it. Yeah, I've been saying this from day one, and you're absolutely right. But the good news is, you know, there are a handful of utilities out there that can supplement what Outlook fails on.
Sure, it's just that in a corporate environment where you're running Exchange servers and you've got these paranoid system administrators, it takes an act of God to get them to actually approve anything.
No, and as a matter of fact, you know, you bring up an important point. You talk about connecting to an Exchange server.
Sure.
One of my issues with the new version of Outlook, Outlook 2003, is that, and I don't know if you know how much about the history of Outlook, but Outlook 2000 was the last version of Outlook that had the same client, but it split the functionality. So when you set it up, you could choose internet-only mode or exchange mode.
Oh, yeah. It prompts you, corporate or internet-only.
Yeah, or worker mode or internet mode.
Yeah, worker mode, exactly.
Yeah. And they stopped doing that in XP in 2003, and that was the time that I said, dude, you guys are doing something wrong, and I realized this, after specifically speaking with Michael, realizing that this was probably one of the reasons a lot of the issues that were inherent, like the speed decrease, the manageability of things.
Sure.
And
Outlook is—it's just a pig in an environment where I'm at. It's just like sometimes working in offline mode where people just are synchronizing with the server all the time. It just freezes, and people just think that it's not responding, and it isn't. It's just sitting there. It's just in the trough.
It's thinking.
You know,
it's
a pig.
You know, it's
thinking,
not.
And people will just reset their computers.
But here's the thing: I wouldn't mind it being a pig, and I don't believe I'm saying this, but I wouldn't mind it being a pig if it didn't lock up, but for an application,
you just get the hourglass and you get it like sort of like
you wait
painting things.
Yeah, and I'm like, this is. I mean, my voice. You want to hear my voice go high pitched? You just let me go on Outlook 2003.
Yeah, well,
no, but one of the things, if I want to make sure you know about this, and I don't know if it's probably not going to go through or anything, but it's something that's good to know. There's a program out there called Clear Context.
Okay.
I don't think it's free, but they do have a demo. It's okay. Something that you might consider passing along to your paranoid system administrators.
Yeah.
It's called Clear Context.
Clearcontext.com,
and I'm sure you could do a search for it on the web. But it essentially is like inbox prioritization, contact prioritization, and message threading. That is just so incredibly smart.
Mm-hmm.
For those people who have like an unwieldy inbox, and it works like with.
Now, is that the one that changes the emails to different colors depending on how important it is and stuff? I thought I came across something like that the other day.
Yep,
That's the one. I know what you're talking about.
Yep, that is the one.
It starts changing different colors. I thought when I was just skimming through it, and I thought, hey, that's pretty cool. The visual thing, you can tell right away, you know, if you see something red or green or blue, whether it's important or not.
You would be surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, how much coloring things helps. I mean, you're flooded with all this information in your inbox. I mean,
absolutely.
And I mean, for instance, Ponzi, the person you spoke with, the my fiance / call screener / CEO of the my life.
Movie sleeper too.
Yes. She has her inbox is just flooded with stuff. And when I gave her this organizational tool, it was able to help her, you know, at least visually see, these things are apparently more important because of the AI or the artificial intelligence that's going into it. But
you can set rules based on the colors. You can tell it to turn things red or blue depending on who's coming. I'm sure you can.
Yep. Right? I mean, it's tweakable. It's certainly tweakable.
Yeah.
It just automates the process of all this information that may be coming in, especially in a larger environment where you have all these conversations that you're trying to track.
Sure.
It's something that, you know, if Outlook 2003 is negligent in doing its job. And I'm sure if you haven't already, I'm sure you are going to illustrate to your system administrators why an argument can be made why this is a problem.
Oh no!
At least you have a solution.
You got people that are pack rats, you know, that have calendar entries from 1999. And you got a 100 gig mail file, and they're sitting there, and they're paranoid to delete any emails, and you know, their Outlook PSP file gets corrupted after a certain size, and they're like, "What are you talking about? I can't open it."
They don't understand.
We're the ones who are suffering on the front line answering the phone.
I hear you, and trust me, I'm fighting the good fight. I can tell you this.
I know.
It's good that you agree with me because some people don't agree with me. They think I'm crazy.
But Chris, I'm telling you, I deal with this, you know, on a daily basis, 8 hours a day. You know, 80% of the calls that I get are somehow related to Outlook and Exchange, not talking to each other, and people. Not being able to get their email, and you know, it's lifeblood. It's a heart pump of any organization.
You still there, Alberto? Honey, did you just hang up on Alberto?
Oops, I did a wrong thing.
Hun, I think you just hung out on. Oh boy.
No, I didn't hang up on him.
Are you sure? Hang on. Wait. Alberto?
Yeah, I'm still here. I heard you.
Ponzi got a little punch drunk there.
Okay.
anyway, what were you saying?
No, I'll tell you what, Chris. I know you have probably other things to do. I just wanted, like, you know, I called to see if you guys would pick up the phone. I was totally surprised to get on the phone. It's totally great. I think you're doing a bang-up job. I read your blog.
Thank you.
You're one of my heroes, Chris.
Thank you. Well, I couldn't do it without the support of people like you, Alberto.
Keep up the great work.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
Take care.
Yeah, you too. I'm glad we were able to. You apparently had put him on hold. You put Alberto on hold, which isn't a bad. It's not a bad thing, Ponzi. You're doing a fantastic job.
Sorry about that. I was trying to put Robert on hold. Who's next?
Oh.
And I hit the wrong button.
It's okay. Now imagine when we have. Imagine if I say something really like horrible, like what was the worst thing that I could possibly say right now?
Nothing.
No, that would be bad because it's dead air. And no one's going to call when it's dead air. I don't even know if they know the number. 888-PERILLO. 888-7474-556. I just love the way that sounds.
Of course you do.
I love the way my last name sounds on the phone. 7474-556. Now, wait. Maybe that'll cause an argument. That's the name you're taking because Andrada Sopan won't fit on a phone number.
I haven't said yes to that yet.
Yeah, but you said yes to the other thing, and I see the ring sitting on your finger there.
Well, yeah. Getting married's one thing, but taking your name's another. You know, I'm first generation.
Yeah. Yeah, but you got two brothers.
Oh, we're not going to have that argument.
Why are we not going to have that argument?
Because my brothers have the name doesn't mean that I don't want to carry the name.
Okay, why don't we shift it to your... You don't have a middle name, so why don't we shift it to your middle name?
I don't need a middle name because I have enough of a name. First
yeah, that's
last.
What I'm saying. I'm trying to shorten it for you, babe.
26 letters there.
I'm trying to... Latina Perillo.
See, it just doesn't sound right.
Is it?
Let's take a poll. Does it sound right, people?
You don't do that, because we're going to get the phone lines going to jam up, and then you're going to have all the women's lib people over my ass. All right, so we're going to take a call from Robert in Wisconsin.
Who does not do cow tipping, by the way.
Oh, did you ask,
Ponzi? I did. I had to ask that. So, come on, Wisconsin. I said, what's in Wisconsin? And he said, cows. And I said, so, have you ever been cow tipping?
So you've never been cow tipping, Robert?
No, I haven't.
And I'm sure you would never expect to answer that question on this show.
It was unusual.
Yeah, that's for sure. So what can we help you with today?
Hi, yeah. I have a question. I have a wireless network between a desktop and a laptop.
Okay.
And I'm having problems with two computers seeing each other, but unable to connect to the internet with both of them.
Okay, so they're not seeing each other, but you're able to connect with each of them.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm running Linksys router here, G.
Okay.
And the laptop's all set up for wireless networking.
Okay, this my first question, and I don't know, this may be very, very technical, but do you know if you're in the same work group?
Yes, I made sure I put the same work group name on both computers.
Okay. And when you're they're both running the same operating system, correct?
The desktop's running Pro and the laptop's running Home.
Okay, so it's still XP.
Right.
Do you have a firewall on each one of them or both of them? I mean, in terms of, like, the Windows firewall.
The Windows firewall is turned off and running StormLab.
Okay.
And I have them both IP address and the trusted zone.
Okay. So you're only using the ZoneLab's firewall between or on each of the systems?
Yes,
you're not using the Windows firewall?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Neither of them.
So if both of them have got the same, if they're in the trusted zone,
right.
they should be able to see each other. The fact that you're online is a good thing. The fact that they can't see each other, if they both got the networking components installed and they're both on the same network, let me think about this one. Networking can definitely be tricky.
Yes.
And I can understand the frustration that you may have been facing. Is this something that's always been the case, or is this just a new situation as you've just recently set it up?
Since I set it up, I have not been able to see a printer, share files, neither.
Have you?
I just won't see the other computer.
All right, and I realize this may be. Well, no, actually, do this. Follow me here, and Zone Alarm can be. It's unwieldy. I mean, it's a good piece of software in the sense that it protects, but I don't know. I've had issues with it, and sometimes these are things that happen when you install like third party products like Zone Alarm. This is what I would suggest doing. You might want to troubleshoot through it. So you obviously can see the internet from both machines, no problem there. But what I would recommend doing is disconnect from the internet, and I mean just like from your Linksys router, basically unplug the WAN your incoming cable connection or DSL connection. So you've got no connectivity to the internet. Then, at that point, so you're completely safe. It's just you. It's you at home. No one can get you. It's just you that can get into those machines. So once you've done that, try disabling, like, Zone Alarm on one machine. Disabling it, I don't know if you'd have to go as far as to uninstall it, but disable it to the point where it's basically not interrupting any kind of traffic. And
okay,
then at that,
shut it down.
And you've unplugged the.
I unplugged the router, okay. So that's down.
That's important. I want you to stay protected. And then again, just shut Zone Alarm down on one machine, and then see if you could from that machine see if you can see the other one, or from the other machine see if you can see the other one. So basically, I'm just having you disable one side to see if the issue is with that Zone Alarm or. And then if that still doesn't work, then we may try going to the other one and disabling the other Zone Alarm to see if it's Zone Alarm that's possibly causing the contention of not being able to see machines on the local network. And since it's been a while, and unfortunately, since you've just now called, I haven't had a lot of time to look into this, and I haven't used Zone Alarm like for ages. There may be a setting in Zone Alarm that would specifically work around this particular issue, but my guess is that. the communication between the two machines is being impeded specifically by the firewall. Especially if you're able to get out to the network from both machines, then you know the connectivity is not at play. It's chances are it's the software. And
right.
you may be so locked down that there's a setting on one machine or another that's not allowing communication to happen between both of them. So I would give that a shot and see what happens. If that's not the case, you know, like I said, let me look into it further to see if I can find a specific setting that needs to be toggled to make this happen, because chances are you're not the only person to run into this.
Right. Because I got that shut down, and all I can see is just the computer that I'm on.
And going through, like, the My Network places...
Right.
And trying to browse for a network, it gives you nothing. Now, here's another question. I mean, this is probably a more important question, too. Do you have, as far as user accounts on both those machines, do you have the same user account, or do you have different user accounts? Username, password.
No, I don't have any password set up.
Okay. Sometimes, if your user, and this may be the issue as well. You'll have to pardon me. I'm just kind of running through as many scenarios as I can.
Right.
You may have to set up the same username and password on each machine, or at least, let's say you've got your desktop machine, and you've got a desktop and a laptop, right?
Correct.
Okay. Let's say your desktop machine's named Destro, and your laptop is named G.I. Joe. So you would have to, on the Destro machine, on your desktop machine, I'm sorry, I'm a big G.I. Joe fan. I just had to throw in a reference there. You would set up a username that the laptop could use to access that machine. So you set up a username, like your name and a password. You set it up on the desktop. And then you could even set up the same account on the laptop. Same username, same password. And so that way, I mean, because if you've got things locked down with usernames, passwords, accounts, and accessing each machine, you need to make sure that that account, there is an account that exists on each machine that each other machine can access. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So either set up a laptop account on your desktop and a desktop account on your laptop, or what I always do, and this you know, may not – this the reason why I do it the way I'm going to explain it is because of ease. And what I do is basically have the same account name on every system that I have. So on Ponzi's laptop, I have a Chris Perillo account with a password. On my laptop, I have a Chris Perillo account with the same password. Does that make sense? So then I've got some amount of ubiquity on the network. So if I want to access one machine from another, I already know I have an account set up on that machine.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what I if the zone alarm thing was just kind of it was a wild guess, and it may still be related to that, may not be, but I would still remain disconnected from the internet and disconnected from zone alarm until you troubleshoot this issue, and then steadily, you know, turn on zone alarm and then reconnect. So that way you've essentially eliminated any type of software bottleneck that may be sitting in between you and this particular issue.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Robert?
Yeah.
Set up the account. Set up the same password on each. Set up the same account, same username, password on each machine, and knock on wood, that should get you going.
So, like, when I go into user account, and I think the administrator account, which I am, then I'm going to set a password to it and set the same thing over on the laptop.
Yes.
Okay.
Basically the same thing.
Okay.
All right.
I'll give that one a shot.
All right. Good luck, Robert. Let me know if it does or does not work out for you.
Okay, we'll do.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
No problem. It's kind of what we do around here. We try to help people as much as possible, and you know, I'm surprised. We're batting a thousand tonight. You never know. I mean, of course, the next phone call may be throwing me completely for a loop, and I wouldn't be surprised. Now, see, that's the thing. A lot of people don't understand or really remember what it was like when I had done Call for Help on TV. A lot of it was produced. So we knew what was coming ahead of time, so we could set things up, so we had time to really step through things. And in doing that, you know, a lot of it was, you know, really heavily, you know, intense on, you know, what was happening on the screen and making sure you were answering the right question. And all these things had to happen in the span of 3 minutes. And one of the things I really missed about doing radio and specifically taking live calls on a show was being able to, you know, take things a little deeper. So if you didn't answer the question, you could try to step through it. And usually that's how my mind works, is like I start with a problem. Let's see here. What would be one way to do it? Well, maybe that's not the way. Let's try it another way. And sometimes that's really what it takes, is just troubleshooting. I mean, that's how I really started working with computers, was much in that way. In kind of taking things apart and breaking things before they would actually be fixed. So if you guys got a phone call, if anybody's still listening to the live stream, all four of you, I'm kidding, I don't know how many people, maybe five of you listening to the live stream right now, go ahead and give us a call, 888-747-4556. That's 888-PERILLO, and you'll get to talk to the lovely Ponzi. And apparently that whole last name debate was not a hot topic because nobody called on it. And so I'm very vindicated by that. By your silence, I will have to assume that you want her to take my last name, and I really appreciate that. All my listeners, it's good to feel wanted in that kind of way, to have that name kind of go through. And like I said, you know, you can't fit Andrados Opon into a seven-digit number. You can't even fit it on a license plate. You can't fit it in seven letters. Go ahead, try it. I dare you. If you can spell Andrados Opon, I still have to write it down in order to spell it. And that was the trick with her. When we first started dating, and most people, you know, may not have met her officially, unless you've come to a Gnomedex, the last one we did in Tahoe, may not have met her in person. But when we first met, she said we couldn't kiss or anything until I could pronounce her name. So her official name is Latanapon Indratasopon. And that's a very American way of saying it, because, hey, I'm an American. What can you say? So we just call her Ponzi for short, and that is actually derived from when she was a kid. She did watch Happy Days, and she did like Fonz, you know, the Fonz, A. And so Ponzi became her nickname. So Ponzi is the person you're going to be speaking with in a call screener kind of sense. And you know what? She's doing really well. She took to the system like a duck to water, this thing is... It's really nice, and we paid enough for it. It should be nice, but what I like about it, having used other systems in the past on radio stations, is you really get a lot of information about the caller, about these people, before something actually, you know, takes place. So seems Ponzi's got someone on hold, but I don't know who it is on hold because she didn't type in any information.
Yeah, I tried calling, but now what do I do? Did I not do something right?
Did you press the answer?
I did everything.
Here, let me see, babe. Got to do a little troubleshooting of our own here. A little tech support of our own. Did it go?
But it has a little question
mark. Did you enter it before you put them on hold?
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. Let's try this again, folks.
Here, let's put it in. It's Josh.
Okay.
Here,
you can probably just tell me at this point.
It's Josh.
Oh, yes. Go ahead, okay. Please introduce Josh before I take him.
Okay, Josh.
So I know
Buffalo.
If I want to take him, because okay. I don't know if I can answer.
It's Josh from Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo.
And he was Tatanka. In the chat room. I've been in the chat room just playing around with everybody.
Uh-huh.
And so he called in. He said that he was listening to a show about Linux. He just wants to chat about Linux. That's his favorite kind of stuff.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm down with that. So what kind of mood is he in? Because you keep putting everybody in an angry mood.
Well, I just did that because it's funny, and it's got the little red face jumping up and down like he's cursing everybody out.
Yeah, but then I'm expecting like someone who's angry, and I prepare myself for that. Like when I walk home after, like, you know, a night of geeking with my friends, I know you're going to be angry. And
right.
So I'm prepared for that, or I'm more prepared for that. So... We're going to bring Josh here onto the Chris Perillo Show. The number here, toll-free, 888-PERILLO, 888-747-4556. And Josh, you apparently have a penchant for Linux.
Yes, I do.
How much do you like Linux?
I use all the time. And right now I was listening to the show. I use Linux to listen to it.
Which media player are you using to stream the show, since it's a Windows Media format?
MPlayer and MPlayer plugin with Firefox.
Now, which distribution of Linux are you running?
Slackware.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Real
Slack
geek.
For life, man.
Now, Josh, now maybe you can do this for me, because I always have these issues in trying to explain something like Linux to someone like Ponzi. And Ponzi, very simple type of person. She loves the elegance of OS X. She, you know, uses Windows on a daily basis. How would you explain Linux to Ponzi? And you're going to talk directly with her. She's on the line.
Well, for me, describing Linux to someone that has not experience with programming, because Linux originally is a programming interface. And basically, anything you do in Linux would, for a Linux guru, would be programming. Like any basic commands, programming. So basically, if I was to describe Linux to someone, I would say it was a programming interface, because Linux is built around machine code. That's what Linux made it on. is machine code, and you can basically do any programming on Linux altogether.
So that's pretty geeky. That's pretty technical. And
yeah.
Ponzi's okay. Now Ponzi's got the confused. She'd have the confused emoticon if there was an emoticon to attribute to her right now. Now, when you say programmers, I mean, wouldn't OS X kind of be the same way since it's built on FreeBSD?
That's true, but OS X, Apple is not Microsoft, so I was about
true.
To say that. But Apple is more for the publishing and more for graphics and more for movies. They make it towards that person. Also, they make OS X towards people who do not have the experience to run Linux.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well,
as you know yourself.
Yeah.
And also, they have Microsoft backing their Office program, so they kind of do make that for people who really don't know how to use or compile, for example, OpenOffice.
So you really, I mean, you get into software, obviously. How long have you been running Linux?
For about 3 years.
Oh, really? Now, did you switch directly from Windows, or...?
Yeah.
Okay.
Directly from Windows 98 to Slackware.
Now, what was the big thing? What was the one thing that made you switch? I mean, above everything else.
Well, I am... My career, what I'm going for, because I'm still in high school personally, I'm going for network system administration. And I have a server in Phoenix with Limelight Networks in the Phoenix, Arizona... data center, and I use that as my to get experience in Unix administration. So my big thing in getting into Linux was like Unix, and to get into networking, you need to really have Unix experience.
Now wait, you just said you are still in high school?
Yes, I am.
Wait, what year?
I'm a senior.
Oh, okay, so you're getting ready to graduate, and you've already figured out where you're going?
Yep.
Well,
actually, the college I wanted to go to did not really accept me, so I'm going to go to another college and then transfer there because Alfred State, which is a school in Central New York, has a excellent network system administration program, and that's where I plan to go one way or another.
And where are they located?
Alfred, New York.
Okay, and that's you're from Buffalo. That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Buffalo, New York.
Ponzi has just Josh on the screen.
She did ask me the questions.
Yes.
That's how she typed them in.
Yeah,
I did.
We believe you, Ponzi. No, we believe you.
I don't know what I did.
Well, it's sometimes I think if you don't click things in the right order, it gets a little functified. So now, Josh, is just to kind of continue with this train, and then we're going to kind of take a brief break. is Linux something that you would recommend for just anybody, blanket statement, like across the board, or... Is it just
no.
something? Okay.
If you were to have someone to use Linux, well, there are Linux distributions are targeted for people who don't really know Linux, like Linspire, or for Mandrake, or Fedora. They really dumb it down, or per se, for people who don't have the Linux experience.
That's fair enough. That's a practical approach. Some people would take just the opposite approach or an extreme approach and just say it's for everybody. But I think it's a very level-headed approach. And Josh, I wish you luck with your future ventures. Good luck in getting that degree.
Thanks.
Don't stop until you got it.
Yep.
Because that's the one thing they can't take away from you is your operating system.
Now you might remember me. I've been. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I do frequent in the chat room. I used another. Handle before I used network before, and I was doing a lot of Linux questions with you when you're in the chat room.
Yeah. Oh,
do you remember that?
Barely. It's there. There's
yeah.
a seed of a thought still there. Barely.
User Ben wants to keep on thinking. My first two words were going to be Linux hater. I was calling you that before.
Well, there's always next time.
Yeah, because of when you did the convention, and it,
yeah.
Though you were joking around, it sounded like you're really hating on Linux.
I know.
So, I said that.
So you caught that from the Desktop Linux Summit, huh?
Yeah, I was listening that day, and I actually sat in the chat room, and you said something over air about it. So.
Yeah, that was definitely tongue-in-cheek, the entire presentation. So, all right. Thanks again, Josh. Appreciate
Have a good
the
night,
call.
Man.
You too. And, of course, if anybody else would like to call in, our number is 888-PERILLO, 888-7474. 855-616, going loud and clear on the Chris Perillo Show. Of course, more information at thechrisperilloshow.com, as well as all of our past shows that we've done, and as well as a link to the chat room over at Locker Gnome. A handful of Gnomies are still in there, still hovering right around the whole higher 40s number, and I was expecting that, quite honestly, in not going overboard with callers tonight, just because this is the first time out, and we want to make sure that the system works fine. But hey, if Ponzi and I can figure it out on the fly, then I think we're good to go. I think we've done a fantastic job with this. We have two more hours of calls that are going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, or, you know, in the meantime, see, if you don't call, then Ponzi and I have to talk to one another, and this is just not something that we do very well.
I'm going to talk about shoes.
Oh, come on, guys. You got to call. 888-888-PERILLO. 888-7474-556. But while you are thinking of a question that you might consider asking, why don't we go ahead and take a listen to what Lord Cat has to say this week in games, which, of course, is something that he provides for us every week. He's got his own website as well, and you're going to hear more about that in just a second.
The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.